like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. We'll begin reading in just a moment in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I speak on the pastor's vision for the faithful men's meeting. We're placing lots of effort into this meeting, and I want to share with you what God has put in my heart, what I'm praying will happen as a result of this meeting. I've always believed that given the opportunity, men can move forward and women can move forward from where they are to attempt greater things for God. And so the pastor is the prodder sometimes, you know. He's trying to charge the folks to move forward, to attempt something they haven't attempted before, to believe God for things they haven't believed Him for in the past. And so with that in mind, I want to share this brief thought with you. If you have your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Word of God says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I want you to mark this expression in the closing part of the second chapter in the second verse. Faithful men. Faithful men. That's what we're praying for. And God characterizes the faithful man with this expression, who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Who shall be able to teach others also. Now, we might place many things as a characteristic of a faithful man. But let's leave our opinions and suggestions aside and concentrate on what God says. Able to teach others also. That's what God has given us. Not just influencing people, not just stirring people to action, but that someone gets it so thoroughly and is motivated so deeply that they're now able to teach others also. From time to time, mothers take their daughters and sometimes their sons into the kitchen to teach them how to cook something. And they trust them with a little responsibility until they give them more responsibility and more until maybe someday they say, "We're going to leave the meal into your hands." They walk out of the kitchen. The son or daughter is fixing the meal, preparing it the way she's been taught, and calls for the family. They come in. Tell this child how delicious it all is. So she's not just watching now. She's been taught how to do this for others. The same thing is true in the work of God. We don't just need to hear phrases about God's work. We don't just need to hear an emphasis placed on it. We need to so thoroughly work with people so they can do what they've been taught by others who handed them the truth. There is a body of truth that is to pass from one generation to the next. And we must define what is that irreducible body of truth. In other words, nothing else can be taken from it. This has to be done. And we know thoroughly, truly what it is, and we pass it to the next generation. That's what Paul is talking about here with his son in the ministry, Timothy. So instead of us making our own list, let's see what Paul concludes as he writes this. Begin with me, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The faithful man who is able to teach others also. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. Will you write it down? The faithful man is serving the Lord from a great Christian heritage. He's learned from someone. This is the emphasis to be placed. When I was a boy, I came to know the Lord as my Savior as a young teenager. As most of you know, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up with the idea that God is real and we're going to meet Him someday. My mother was always emphasizing the fact that there is a God, we should behave ourselves because He is real. She was taught in a group that when we were 12 years old, it was a certain religious group, that we were 12 years old, then we were accountable to God like at no other time in our lives. And she used that as almost a fear tactic to me. But she did lecture me and say, it's your turn to serve God and do what God wants you to do. When I was 12 years old, my 12th birthday, that's the way I faced my 12th birthday, with my mother's charge that I ought to be the young man God wants me to be. Very serious charge. But what Paul is saying here, I have served the Lord, and look how he says it. I have served the Lord from my forefathers. If you intend to be a faithful man, you need to serve the Lord, for the Lord and for His glory, given to it. Not just attending church. That's the least we can do. But actually engaging in the service of Almighty God. Serve the Lord. Number two, would you write it down? I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers, with pure conscience. With pure conscience. The faithful man has a pure conscience. The thing to concentrate on to keep clean always is your conscience. Keep your conscience clean. Keep it pure. No offense toward God or man. It's important. I had occasion today to face something. Someone said something that I received and it hurt me deeply. And the only way I could answer it was the answer of a good conscience. I'd be moved with the grieving I did because of it, out of place, maybe responding in a way I should not respond. I'm not going to go into the details because it was a dear, dear, precious friend who said something he should not have said. But I said, Lord, keep me steady. Keep me true. Help me not to overact or to react wrongly or try to get even. You don't do that except if you've cared for your conscience. Every day's work is a work on a pure conscience. The faithful man has a pure conscience, clean. Keeping short accounts with God when something does go wrong, seeking God's forgiveness and cleansing. Don't let it build up, pile up. And so, a pure conscience. Look at the third thing the Bible says. I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. The faithful man is a praying man. A praying man. Most of our prayer is sort of a religious pretense. But when we really do pray and make contact with God, we have that access. Think of this. The Lord has made a way, not on our merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ, who lives in us, to be able to go to the throne of grace and speak to the Almighty God about what's on our hearts. Don't dare call yourself a faithful man without being a man of prayer. Pray about it. Recently, my wife said to me about a certain matter, said, we're not going to fuss anymore about this particular thing. It wasn't something she and I were fussing with one another about, but something we were disappointed in. She said, we're not even going to discuss it anymore. We're going to know what we're supposed to do, and that's pray about it. Every time it comes up, we're going to pray about it. I'm going to make sure, she says, that there's three periods a day, at least three times a day, where I give myself to praying about this particular thing. It challenged me. And I thought to myself, that's the only way to do battle with this. The flesh is too weak. The world is too strong. The devil is always out to get us. The victory is in Jesus. And we must be people of prayer. The faithful man knows how to pray and make contact with God and get things from God. You may hear something that's challenging and think, I don't know how in the world that could ever be done or why anybody ever attempts such a thing. Is it too great for God? Can God hear and answer prayer? God can move on the hearts of an individual? Can the Lord search people's hearts and point out to them what they should be doing? We must be men of prayer. Let's move on. And the Word of God says, notice please, when you read on, when I call remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We must be men of faith. Men of faith. There's a progression here. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Men of faith. Where's my faith? Where's my faith? The object of my faith must always be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I must always look to Him. The temptation is, can this group of people do this? Can a certain handful of men get this done? Have we got the money among us for this? Are the hearts of the people in this? No. Faith is looking unto Jesus. Do you have the faith life to look to Jesus? He's the victory. A faithful man is looking unto Jesus. He is a man of faith. So we're reading on. We're working our way back to where we started. He said, Timothy, your mother and grandmother had unfeigned faith, pure, unpretentious faith. And I'm convinced this is in you also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, verse 9, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The faithful man is not a fearful man. Where did you get this spirit of fear? This hindering, haltering fear. I hear people all the time talk about ideas. I say, where's your faith? I hear people all the time talk about what could be done. I said, why aren't you doing it? It's not just preaching. It's not just talking about Christianity. There's faith required. And fear. Fear is driven out by that faith. All of us have a natural tendency to fear. All of us. Think about your fears for a moment and you think, well, certain things overcome me. But then you think, God is with me. God has led me. The Lord's accomplished this. Years ago in our journey together as a pastor and people, I said, let's go out here and make a little park. And let's put stones out here. 12 stones. And let's put 1,000 over it. Just like Joshua and the people of God when they crossed the Jordan. Because he said, when the children come and see all that's been done, may this be a testimony. All this was done because God did it. God did it. And all we talked about then was this property we had here and all we were trying to cram into the buildings we had here. That's so long ago. But I still say, we need to be the people who live to say, somebody says, blessings. Oh, what blessings. I had visitors the last couple of days who wanted to see everything we've been doing. And I thought as I was showing them through and new things and all the things and the historical things, I thought, this is all the hand of God. All the hand of God. That's the attitude we need to have toward the Lord, toward the things of God. We can't claim to be faithful men unless we have that. No spirit of fear, just launching out. You know what it's like to be fearful. Can't do it. Be nice if it happened. And you know what it's like to see it done. I say in every generation, there must be raised up a group of people who know what it's like to trust God by faith and see the Lord come through. And when you do that, when you actually see God come through, and you know it can be done, it changes your life. There's no stopping you. No stopping you. It's almost like saying you're not going to be stopped until the Lord's finished with you. And I have that sense. I think all of my life, God has prepared me for what I'm doing now. All of my life. When I had to pray for tires to get $40, put tires on my car, that's part of the step on the thing. When I said to the men in the first church I pastored, we're going to go out that wall and build a building, and a big booted farmer drug his boot through the dirt in the middle of the night when we were out there with darkness, said, "Let me tell you one thing, little preacher, when you come out here, that's as far as it's going to come." Foolish man. Foolish man. Do you think he could control everything? Do you know ever since we built that building, right to his boot print, that church has complained about it being so small they can't do with it what they ought to be doing with it. But we built it. We tore the wall out. We put classrooms in it. And when we did, one little fellow said, "I thought it was going to be a classroom for my Sunday school class. It was a nursery." And I said to him, "It is. You belong in the nursery." You should have known me back then. It was pitiful. But the truth of the matter is, you have to keep moving forward with all this. Not a smart aleck. They'll accuse you of that. But with confidence in God and not controlled by the spirit of fear. I'd hate to take on God. And if God is on a man and with a man, and he's walking with God, let's recognize the Lord's presence and move forward. Faithful men, they don't have the spirit of fear. I must show you some other things, and I want you to look at it. The Word of God says, notice please, read with me, verses 12 and 13. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words." Would you mark that? Sound words. The faithful man is a man of sound words. Listen to him. Listen to him. His words are healthy. His words are about the Lord, what the Lord can do. His words are not scary. They're faith building. Sound words, healthy words. He speaks. And when he speaks, you recognize that God has given him wisdom. Where did he get it? He got it from God's Word. This is about the Word of God, speaking biblical language. Have faith in God. Sound words. There are people who drag you down by their words. There are other people who lift you up by their words. Faithful men are speaking sound words. And then we work our way back to where we started in the second chapter. They're doing this as Paul prays in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And you have to be strong in Him. "That the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." They're teaching others also. They're teaching others also. The faithful man is teaching others also. He knows he's leaving here. He knows he's going to hand the baton off to someone. He knows not only do people need an opportunity and a duty, they need to have learned how to trust God themselves. I could teach you everything imaginable that I found in the Word of God and others have taught me. But if you don't have faith to exercise what you've learned, you're never going to do a thing. Never. Never. This isn't just an academic thing to be a faithful man. It's exercising faith and to see others coming behind you who are going to trust God and believe God and lean on the Lord. I want to see this happen in this faithful men's meeting. I want you to pray with me that God will raise up faithful men in all of this. Let's pray.